All right, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 11. Thank you for putting up with me. And that singing, boy, I know it sounds terrible, but the truth is still there. Amen. Thank you, Diane. I hate to say it, but you're a good follower. I messed up words and timing and everything else. Doesn't bother her. She just goes right through it. So I'm sure you're in subjection to your husband. Amen. And that he loves you like the church. Amen. That's it. You give her a good one right now. Amen. That's true. She has demonstrated, even on the keyboard, a humility that every woman should have to be in. She is totally subject to what I sing, basically. And she did such a good job. Others did that tonight, too. It was so good. All right, verse 28, Matthew 11. Come, let's read it out loud together. You've been there 1,000 times, so you got it. You got it up where you can see it. You got your glasses adjusted. Here we go. Let's read it out loud. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's trying to tell you it's not going to be a no-yoke situation when you get saved. And it's not going to be a no-burden situation. It's going to be there. But because He knows you and loves you, He's going to make it easy. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray. Lord, bless the truth of this word tonight, we pray, with a spirit of expectancy. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time I use that phrase, I'm even known by people. They call me on the phone and say, are you that spirit of expectancy guy? Yeah, I am. But it came from the verse that Nathan used in the music tonight. For this God is our God, and He shall be our guide even until death. So I just expect God to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. I expected it this morning, tonight. I expect again for God and His Holy Spirit to really work in our hearts. Here's the title. You handle it the way you want. How to handle the things that handle you. Can I say it again? How to handle the things that handle you. Years ago, and I have the privilege, I've had 40 years of that privilege of just traveling around our country. Montana is a beautiful place. It's just unbelievable. I have driven into the country on a four-wheeler. I watched as many as 40 turkeys run a hill and take off at the same time. They really work in a wild game situation for breakfast or whatever. So will possum on a half shell. That's armadillo. It works. But what a sight. Years ago, the story is told, a woman crossing Montana with a brand new baby to meet her husband in the military. She went from east to west. And it was so frigid and cold, it was way below zero. And that was the kind of days that they couldn't run and get warm somewhere. You just made sure you had what it takes. But he noticed in the fact that the woman cared for that baby, she had forgotten about herself. Her concern was for the baby and that it wouldn't be cold. And she was taking clothes off of herself to put around the baby. And the stagecoach driver realized that her temperature was dropping, and she was about to pass out. And that's usually what happens, and then you die. He stopped the stage abruptly, went back, opened the door, and took that baby from her, and wrapped that baby in everything that he had, and under his seat was a box where they usually carry money and stuff for wherever they're going. And he pulled that box out and he tucked that baby in and put blankets all over that baby while the woman stood outside watching him. And he sat the seat back down. And he sat in the seat and he took off driving as hard as he could. He left the woman behind. She began to scream, "That's my baby. I want my baby." She ran and she ran. She did everything she could to try to catch up to that stagecoach. And once you get close, he would go again faster. And that stagecoach driver saved her life. But it didn't sound like it to begin with. It didn't sound like it to you when you first heard it, did it? But to make her run and build her temperature and the heat up in her body again, he was able to tuck that baby back into her arms and continue the trip. The Lord Jesus many times puts things in our life that we wonder why. I don't know what you think about heaven, but since Pat's gone home to be with the Lord, I've thought a lot about it. And here's one thought that's occurred to me. How can heaven ever be any better than what we had for 50 years? It was wonderful, close. She was such a teacher and a lover. How could it be better in heaven? But I must believe that it will be, because it'll be a perfect place. And so I look and I long for that heaven. I hope that you do. Now, tonight I want to mention about three things that I want you to take home with you. Number one, when you have a problem that you don't think you can handle, and you think maybe it's handling you, and those problems come, don't they? They come in the form of children. They come in the form of finances. They come in the form of just sheer depression. And I'll not deny to you, I've been there. But there's a way out every time. So the first thing I want you to take into your heart is this. When you have a problem or a burden, you need to take that burden to the right place. Now, a lot of people don't do it. I'll mention again tonight, but I watch people come forward. I can remember years ago when Dr. Bloom pastored here. I've watched people come forward, and some of them have asked me or my wife to talk with them right there at the altar. See, you folks aren't used to that much anymore, but you need to get there. I preached the same sermon this afternoon that I did this morning. We had 25 couples and families come to an old-fashioned altar. Guess what? That church's not used to it either. Pastor, what was that name? Ledford. Yeah. Excuse me, Jan, I remember that name. But Pastor Ledford, he was just in shock. He said, "Dan, I can't even make them come, and here they come." I said, "It's the Lord, Ledford, and it's going to work for you too." But I've dealt with it. When we just had the little building, you remember? It wasn't pushed down like it is now. And they would say, "I have thus, thus, and thus is the problem. I do not know what to do." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Believing 1 John 1:9 that He's going to be able to forgive our sin as we confess it, will you confess it to Him right now and promise Him and me while I'm listening that you will not take that problem back?" I'm going to tell you the truth. They didn't get 5 minutes out of this place. And the devil said, "But you haven't tried it this way yet. Why don't you think about it this way?" Is that not like the devil? When you have a burden, a problem is just about to override you personally and affect you emotionally and physically and touch your marriage and influence your children, you take that burden to the right place. He said, "Come unto me." That's our text. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." And if you'll do that, He said, "I will give you what? Rest." Take it to the right place. Now let me give you some problems that we have. We fret. Don't fret. Boy, that's hard not to do. Am I right? Your son's about to marry a girl that you know is just going to tear up. And you fret about it. Don't do that. Fretting will not help. Look with me at Philippians 4:6. Boy, that'll wake some of you up. Philippians 4:6. And I just want to do this one verse for sure so that you have it. Philippians, if you're a note taker, Philippians is God's psychology book. And it was written by a man in prison, restrained by guards. A man named Paul. Look what he says in 4:6. "Be careful for nothing." Does that make sense to you, or is the King James bothering you there? Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Everything you do, every problem that comes by your way, you need to be careful to give it to the right place. Take it there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. My gracious. Let your requests be made known unto God. My son Daniel has just completed a series on the Lord's Prayer. Now I'm going to tell you, I was raised a Episcopalian. Think about that a minute. Laugh later, but think about it. And drinking was no problem for anybody in our church. I was raised Episcopalian. But I had to memorize the Lord's Prayer, and every church service I had to what? Recite that prayer. You know what it meant to me? Absolutely nothing. Now some of you have that background. And as a result, you have a resentment even when you come to Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer. You have a resentment. I just hate to read that. Yet He cautions us, the verse before He introduces the Lord's Prayer, to not do it out of routine. And Daniel, it took him almost 14 weeks to do it. Did it word by word. But when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled," "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from..." It doesn't mean that He might lead you into temptation. He says when He delivers you from evil, He has kept you from temptation. For it's temptation that puts you on the path to evil. And folks, listen. The Lord's Prayer is part of my devotion every day of my life now. I thrill to pray it. Our Father. You know what? It's not my Father. It's our. It belongs to all of us. And it's changed my prayer life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And listen, dear friend, when you have a problem, don't fret about it. Give it to the Lord. Let me give you another one. Don't fret. Number two, don't give it to your friends. That's a hard statement for a preacher to make. But I'm reminded of Job. He gave it to his friends, didn't he? This is what's wrong with me. You know what they did? For almost 30 chapters, they rebuked him for being sinful. Now I'm going to tell you, don't give it to your friends. Number one, they have enough of their own to deal with. Am I right? Now, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Don't misunderstand me. And sometimes when God impresses you to share it with a friend, but don't expect to get a solution from them. You need a solution from the place that you go, and that's the Word of God. Please don't fret. Don't give your problem to friends. They got enough of their own. Number three, don't flee your problem. Don't run from it. Well, I'll just ignore it. I'm just not even going to think about it anymore. Listen, there are so many people who have sat in the pews of this church who have fled their problems. They leave the church. Am I right? Oh, I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore. You don't know the problems I have. And out the door they go. And they're the loser, not the winner. Don't flee your problems. Number four, don't fight them. I hope you're writing it down. Because by tomorrow you may need it. Don't fight your problems. Now, a lot of us do that. I'll tell you what, I can handle it. Have you heard that? And what you're doing, you're rebelling against everything God wants to do for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. Now what? Give you rest. But we fight it. Oh, I can think of 1,000 illustrations of people fighting their problems. As a matter of fact, they become obviously rebellious in the church. Not at the church, but at the problem. Don't fight it. Number five, give it to your Father. He's the Father you need. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was a bartender, but he was a great guy. He really was. He had five children. I'm number four. And he did. He had that kind of a wicked influence. I never saw my father drink hard liquor. He served it every day of his life. I never saw him drink in the club. He would come home sometimes and have a beer and sit there. By the time I was three or four, he said, "You want a drink of this?" And at three, it only took one drink to decide that that's not what I ever want. I didn't know how I was drinking. And it was just, as we call it, it was just beer. But my dad was an athlete. He's a great musician. And he employed all those things in the home. He had problems with the club, and if you had a salary like he had to pay, you had problems too. But he never brought it home. He never fought it. If you'll excuse the expression, he would just go with the flow. Go with the flow. Don't fight it. You're going to be in bad trouble if you do. Now you need to give it to your Heavenly Father. That is part of the place you should take your problems. Number two, we need to transfer our problems or our burden to the right person. My gracious. The right person. It isn't a friend. Don't look for somebody you think is a spiritual giant and unload on them. They're just people. Am I right? Pastors, they take it all the way up to the chin. But they know there's only one answer, and that's the Word of God. Amen? We listen, and we listen. We empathize. We never sympathize, but we empathize. And pray that the Holy Spirit will convince that person that we're dealing with that Christ is the only answer. Am I right? So, you need to take your burden to the right place. Don't run from it. Don't flee. All those things. Then you need to take it to the right person. Transfer. Matter of fact, he says it right here. Cast your what? Care on me. He didn't say it right there, but he said it in Romans. Cast your care on me. And he cares. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Some of you need to wake up, so we'll look there. The turning of the pages, or the leaves, sounds like fall. Hebrews chapter 4, this is a favorite portion for me, is why I like to read it. Verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our what?" He not only can't be touch with the feelings that you have. He can. He knows them. Because he was tempted in all points just like you. You believe that tonight? I was preaching in Michigan, right beside Jack Benny's headquarters, as a matter of fact. And it was in the early 70s, and I don't know whether you remember them, but a hippie came to me after church, and he had Levi's on and a big flag on his backside. Have you seen that? He had sideburns down to his navel. And he'd been hit with a shell. He had shrapnel all over him. In his ears, in his nose, in his tongue, in his eyelids. I mean, he had shrapnel everywhere. He couldn't make the gate at the airport. And he came to me and he said, "I didn't agree with your sermon." I said, "What?" And what he was saying in his Detroit lingo, "I didn't agree with your sermon." I said, "Why?" He said, "Hey man, don't tell me Christ was tempted." They didn't have no fast cars in his day. I said, "Yeah, but they had fast chariots." Let me give you a rule. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. I said, "Son, they had fast chariots, and every kid wanted to put a thrush muffler on his horse." And he went, "Oh," and left to get some more marijuana. He could go to Denver now. But listen, there is one who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we need to understand that. Number three. Number one, take it to the right place. Number two, take it to the right person. Now, I'm just going to change a little bit. Take your burden to the right one. Boy, think about that. Now, what will God do if you give Him your burden? It's about to overwhelm you. It could break your marriage. It's certainly going to break your bank. And you don't know whether to kill your kid or what. But you take it to Him. Here's what it's going to do. Number one, He may remove it. Totally. How many have ever had that happen to them? Take the burden to the Lord. Yeah, me too, buddy. It's amazing. He may remove it. But I have to add the word sometimes. He may totally remove your burden. But you're with the right one right now when you give it to Him. He might remove it. Number two, He might relieve it. Now that's a hard one to understand. Let me see if I can help you. He'll take some of your burden away, but maybe not all of it. Can I mention Paul, the apostle, who thrice prayed that God would remove an obstacle from him, and he never did. But many of you have experienced some relief in the midst of a burden as you give that burden to Him, don't you? I have. And thank God for that much. Man, I'm ready to raise my hand and say, look, if you just take some of it, it'll be wonderful. And number three, He may give you rest. It could be from the burden, but usually He'll give you rest in the burden. See, when you cast your care on Him and He takes it, you've given it to Him. And at that time, you need to understand, regardless of what He does for the problem, it's now His and not yours. But He can give you rest. Rest from an ongoing burden. Now, Pat was sick for 4 years. I prayed night and day that God would heal her. And somewhere into the third year, He impressed me that He wasn't going to do it, but that He would give some rest. And when they stopped her radiation and chemo because they couldn't give her anymore, she sort of came back. It was wonderful. And we both had rest from this ongoing, unrelenting burden. You should be in there taking radiation. Some of you may have, and you remember, thump, 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 thump. It just goes on until it just about drives you crazy. I used to have to sit in the waiting room while Pat went to radiation, but I saw some unbelievable sights. I saw a 20-year-old Mexican girl. She did not speak much English at all. Her husband did, and they had a brand new baby, and she had it in her arms. And on her head was a halo. How many know what I'm talking about? She had a tumor in her brain. And the nurses told me, Dan, do whatever you can to get her to understand it. But she'll probably not live. She was holding that baby. And she reached down cautiously not to let the halo that she had touch her. But it had to be there for the radiation. And she'd hug her baby. You know, I thought of my wife in there getting radiation that very time. And then I looked at that girl. God's been good to us, hasn't He? He can give us rest right in the midst of the problem. Do you understand that tonight? Now, some of you are carrying some heavy stuff tonight. But I want you to believe that He loves you so much, He will bring a rest to you. He may not take it away. He may not take it all away. But in that burden, He will give you rest. Do you believe that? See that woman chasing the stagecoach when she actually thought the guy stole her baby. She didn't know it. But God was putting her through some deep water, and she didn't even know it was for her own good. But can you imagine what she felt like when that driver handed her that baby? Helped her back into the stage. My friend, you need to look for that time. And let me close with this time. He may never change your burden. But if you'll let Him, He'll change you.
to bear that burden.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you sitting here with burdens, you need to decide right now, you're the one that needs to change toward that burden. Am I right? You might be able to handle it if you get out of the resentment stage and the why stage and why me and say, Lord, I am right where you want me to be. And I accept what you've sent me. Give me rest. Can he do that? I don't know what's going to happen to you in this year that's ahead of us, nor me. But I do know this. He is my burden bearer. Let me finish our text. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. That word means a wonderful word. Not only means humble, but it means teachable. In other words, he wants to learn what your problem is. Not that he doesn't already know it, but he's trying to figure a way to help you. He may take it away totally. He may just give you some relief, and he might give you rest in the midst of it by changing you. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. If you'll give it to him, you're going to discover that his yoke is a lot easier than anything you're carrying right now. Amen? And my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the invitation. May you have your way in our hearts.